Boston's Fort Point neighborhood used to be home to hundreds of artists residing in affordable work-live studios in former factory buildings along Summer Street, Congress Street, and some of the side streets. But as the neighborhood has increasingly been turned over to high-priced condos and office space, artists began to be pushed out. In response, the city of Boston sought to create an artists' enclave called Midway Studios, where some artists could continue in the Fort Point tradition and live affordably in their workspaces. Midway was opened in 2005, but the experiment has not been going terribly well, and in fact, it's the center of a new controversy. Joining us now with more is Jeff Edgers, arts reporter at the Boston Globe. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hi, thank you.
Just briefly, what's the history of Fort Point as an artist's neighborhood?
Well, it's not really a scientific study we can make. We don't know exactly how many, but the reality is, like a lot of major cities, you had all these warehouses that were built, and then when the factories closed down and they stopped, you know, making wool, they had all this space, and artists did what artists do, which is they moved into these cheap spaces, some of them which were illegal or, you know, not
squatters.
Up to code, yeah, and they did their work. The problem came, mainly when there was redevelopment, you know, the 90s and the O's, and you had developers coming in making these really sweet condos that artists could no longer afford. And the question became, you know, how do you keep that artist community down there and how can they afford to stay?
As we said, the building opened in 2005. What was promised to the artists who rented there at the beginning?
Well, let's be clear. What's promised is not what's guaranteed. It's not in a contract or anything, but all the, you know, brochures and emails that went out in those early days talked about, one, the idea the artists would be able to get these affordable rental spaces that they'd be able to buy. There would be a theater in there. There'd be a cafe. I mean, it really describes a place you'd want to live if you're an artist.
Those promises or those hints at promises haven't really panned out. Talk first about what happened with this idea that they could eventually buy their apartments that they were renting.
Well, if I told you the series of events that led to their not being able to buy, your eyes would glaze over. You need a real estate attorney. You know, you need a translator. You know, you need a lot. But what I'd say is there was a complication with the original borrowing of the money to do the space, where all these folks who were, you know, much smarter than I am apparently missed this point that they had to wait 15 years.
15 years to buy.
To buy. Yeah, even though at the beginning they'd said it'd be 5 years. Then when that was all worked out, the economy had totally tanked, and the owners of the building went through a process of trying to figure out how many people would buy their spaces. The spaces were available for sale, but way more than anybody thought they would cost. Not enough people stepped forward, according to the owners, and that thing fell apart. And so that didn't come together. And then as far as the theater, it's this huge space. It's 20,000 square feet. And the key thing is that according to the economics of this building, the owners say, they need that theater space to generate money. And, you know, I can stage a play there, but I'm not going to be able to pay what you maybe can get from a company.
Which brings us to the present controversy. There's a company that wants to do some business in that theater, and the residents are having none of it. Explain what's going on.
There's a guy named David Rogers who has run his business in the area in different spaces called Obscor, and they create helmets largely for the military, and he was looking for some more space to expand. He was somewhere else in Fort Point, but he's been there since, you know, for years. And so they had this space available. The landlord really needed the money, and they worked out a deal with him to come in there. Now, the problem is the residents, one, don't want to lose the theater. Two, they don't want any kind of manufacturing going on in there. They say there are fumes that are going to be created. They say that they're going to get sick. It's a complicated thing. And then the landlord is saying, oh, I need some money and I need to have a dependable tenant in there. You know, this is why we want to have this deal.
And we should say this guy Rogers, who owns this company, he's an industrial designer and has lived in Fort Point as an artist for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there for years and years. And, you know, he was one of the original tenants in the building. So that's what creates more of a wrinkle here, because while some people are calling him an outsider or like, you know, this company, this factory, the fact is he's in many ways one of them.
So he's having conflicts with the people who live in this building who don't want his helmet factory to move in into the theater for all the reasons that you just enumerated. He has it up to here one day. And what does he do?
Well, he sent the kind of email that I always promise myself I will not send. I've got a rule, an internal rule. It's do not send an email that you don't want your boss to read.
He called the residents of the building a bunch of trust fund babies who are painting on their parents' dimes while he's making helmets to save 18-year-olds in Afghanistan.
That's pretty much it, yes.
Who was the recipient or the intended recipient?
Well, it was sent to a resident of Midway. And, you know, it's like you send an email out, you might as well just, you know, print it off and send it to the rest of the world. I mean, she forwarded it to everyone in the building, and it ended up with me. And it, you know, it goes everywhere. I mean, it was the kind of email that, frankly, should go everywhere.
So then there was a community meeting in Fort Point to get this all sorted out between the various parties. What happened?
Well, it's interesting. The Boston Redevelopment Authority, which was overseeing this meeting, I know because I spoke with the key official at the BRA. And before this meeting, I don't think he really understood how angry these folks were. When I talked to him, I was sure he was going to approve the use of this company going in there, and they were going to work out a trade where they built a smaller theater in the space. When he got to the meeting, though, I mean, it was like 3.5 hours of just one person after another blasting the company, the landlord, everything. And by the end, he realized that, you know, this was going to be a challenge.
So what happens next?
Well, nothing's been decided, but the work that OBSCOR was doing in there was stopped. The city, once they saw that there was an attempt to change the use of the theater to this assembly site, stopped the work. What really was going to happen is that this, you know, Cairo Shen, who's the planning director at the BRA, had to talk to the mayor and also to his boss at the BRA. And he has to deliver a message that's, look, we don't think it's unsafe, which is what they judged, but we do think that there's a huge swell of opposition to this, and you need to know that. And my guess is that they need to find another spot in Fort Point for this business. The question then is, how does the landlord get the money that he needed from this company to pay for the theater? I don't know the answer to that. The problem with this is it's very complicated. It all depends on your perspective. If you're one of the artists who moved in there in 2005, built out your space and expected to buy, right, it's not working out. But if you're one of the artists who's in one of the 36 affordable units, which is way above what's required, I don't know, maybe it is working out. So,
but if the building isn't fiscally sustainable for the developer, if it gets foreclosed on, those people aren't going to be able to stay in their apartments, right?
Well, the number we get right now is that they were going to get $300,000, about that a year, from OBSCOR, and that was going to make the building be sustainable. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a lot of money to me. I mean, I can't pay for it, but you'd think that there'd be a way to work it out.
Well, we shall see.
We will.
Jeff Edgers, arts reporter at the Boston Globe, Radio Boston contributor. Always lovely to have you.
Thank you.
Well, coming up next, a cost-cutting proposal on Beacon Hill would nix public defenders for some people accused of minor crimes. More on that. I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.